I'd ask you to please turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 7, the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 7 and verse 24. That is page 1118. Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. And the message this evening is a question. What about the foundation? What about the foundation? Now, the Lord Jesus has come to the end of his remarkable message referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. This was because of the location of its delivery and for the remarkable number of hearers surrounding him as he gave these words of wisdom. And in this sermon, the Lord Jesus has been given essential teaching as to what it really means to live the Christian life. He has taken the moral law of God and made application. And he's been focusing upon the heart. And he's made stunning applications. He's used stunning illustrations. He's made this sermon come alive in picture language. And it's come with the power of the Holy Spirit. And he's transformed the thinking of the people as regards the moral law. This was a revelation to the hearers. They only knew that law applied as a list of do's and don'ts. It was just an outward message of regulation taught by the religious leaders. But here Jesus teaches actually the moral law starts from the heart. And then obedience from the heart becomes the true reality. And Jesus is teaching that the way we live, the right attitude of the heart, forms the way we live. And this is essential. It must start with the heart. The religious leaders, they used a lot of words. They made a lot of rules. They made a lot of regulations. And they burdened others. But they were easy on themselves. But hard on those that they sought to instruct. It was utter legalism and spiritually dead. All these religious leaders, they enjoyed dressing up in these smart robes and being lauded and looked up to. But Jesus said they were like whitened sepulchres. Yesterday we went to Canterbury and we visited Canterbury Cathedral. And there was only one room you couldn't go in. And Brother Annie peered inside. And it was the robe room. That was the room where all the robes were kept. And that anyone who meant anything, before they did anything, they had to wear a robe. Various colours. But wearing a robe doesn't change your heart. It might make you look different, but it doesn't make you different in terms of whether you are right with God. Well, Jesus, with divine authority, teaches the true application to life of the law. And in doing so, he astonishes the people with his teaching. He takes the law and he says, actually, you know, for example, he says in the subject of adultery, he said, you know, we think adultery is just physical. But he said, actually, if a man looks on a woman just lustfully, just with his eyes in God's sight, that is adultery. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is magnifying the law by applying it to the heart, to bring us to this point where we say, Lord, help me, I am a sinner. I cannot keep your law. Even what I think is revealed an open book to God, where do we stand? And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. Well, the Lord Jesus concluded his sermon by this timeless application. And what he's saying is that this evening, in the secret place of our heart, we must examine the foundation of our life. And this is the first question. What is the foundation of my life and your life? What is the real foundation? What are you resting on, really? What is really motivating your actions and your works? Are they on the foundation of Jesus Christ? Are they on the foundation of his teaching? Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. And Jesus makes his final application by using this vivid illustration of two constructions built by two builders. Now, it's likely they were in a similar location. So a Christian believer lives alongside an unbeliever. We live in the same world. God reigns on the just and the unjust. We enjoy the same sun. We enjoy the same scenery. We enjoy this glorious spring, where everything is coming out into life. Within a few days, the whole scenery has been transformed into a glorious picture of colour. And it's not only believers that are benefiting from this. It's only believers that are appreciating it in terms of giving glory to God and understanding this is God's handiwork. But nevertheless, the unbeliever is also in a similar location. They are enjoying those same benefits. And there is a similar desire here between the wise man and the foolish man. They were both building a house for their families. Now, an unbeliever can, in his way, take care of his family in a providential way, not in the same extent as a believing father, inasmuch that the believing father provides spiritual and practical support, which is a great, wonderful blessing. And children, be thankful if you have a believing father and mother. It's a wonderful blessing. You might think it's a bit of a bind at times when you can't go places that you want to go, but only because they love you and care for your soul. It's a great blessing. It's a wonderful blessing. But from a creation point of view, it's a creative principle, and God has put it in the heart of his of man and women, and put it in the heart to care generally for the family. And so this wise man and the foolish man, they had a desire to build a house for their families. And probably it was a similar structure. Probably the house used similar materials. Maybe they used a contemporary style. Maybe they looked and thought, well, what is the best design we can use, the most suitable design for the modern family at that time? And they probably both used a contemporary style. So they were probably in a similar location in the mind of Jesus in this particular illustration. They had a similar desire. They had a similar structure. So what was the difference? The difference was the foundation. And one was on the rock and secure, and the other on the sand, ultimately lost. And how was it tested? Well, a great storm came. And we will learn about this in a little while. So the question is, the difference to us this evening is not on the outside, it's on the inside. It's something that's not visible to the eye. The foundation is not visible to the eye. And so with our heart. The only person who can see your heart this evening is God. I can't see your heart. God can see your heart. And he knows what's underneath. He knows what you are resting on this evening. What you are taking notice of. Who's swaying your life. Whose words you are resting on. Who you are trusting in and believing in. And the Lord Jesus is saying to us this evening, actually the essential part of life, the essential part of the building, the edifice of your life, is not how you're dressed. It's what you are resting on, the foundation. There is a building in USA called the Wexner Art Center. It's a new art building, and it's fascinating. It's designed within the postmodernist view of reality. And the building has no pattern. The staircases go nowhere. The pillars support nothing. And the architect designed the building to reflect the postmodernist view of life. It went nowhere. It was mindless and it was senseless. And a question was asked to this architect, did you do the same thing with the foundation? And he said, of course not. He wouldn't do that with a foundation. The foundation has got to be firm and secure. Jesus says, the person who builds on the foundation is the wise person. First of all, then, the way of security. The first man Jesus described as wise. He was a wise man. Why was he a wise man? Now, young people, listen to this, especially teenagers, because this is something I remember when I was a teenager that I wasn't very good at. He was a good listener. Teenagers, by nature, were not very good listeners. We've got all the answers. All the arguments, oftentimes, and we're not always a good listener. But this wise man was a good listener, because he heard the sayings of Jesus, and he did them. And so what the Lord Jesus is telling us this evening is actually, the first principle of wisdom is to be a good listener, is to hear, is to listen. Is to listen to what God is saying to us from his word. And this wise man that Jesus is speaking about here, he heard the teaching of Jesus, and by faith he trusted the teaching of Jesus, and he respected the teaching of Jesus. This was about his soul, about his heart, about his eternal future and his eternal well-being. He heard, but he didn't just hear. He considered, he meditated, he thought, these words of wisdom. And he understood there were implications here for time and eternity. He heard the sayings of Jesus, he received them into his mind, and he thought and he received them by faith into his heart. And from this Holy Spirit-led exercise, this regenerated exercise of the regenerated person came the fruit of obedience from the heart, the gift of faith and obedience. And the wise man is described in the manner that he built this house. He seriously considered the importance of the foundation. He dug deep to find the rock. And you know how it is when we might build a house or an extension. We have these men or women called the building regulators, and they come around and they look at the foundation and they say, you've got to go deeper. When we built our extension at home, the man came round and he said, the foundations are okay, but it's too near a tree. And that tree's got to come down because it could affect the foundations. And nothing could be built. No more work could be done until that tree was taken down. And a picture taken to evidence to give that man who had the authority to press the green button to satisfy him that that had been done properly and correctly. He seriously considered the importance of the foundation. He dug deep to find the rock. He was patient. He was diligent. He was thoughtful. And I know that though there's a brother here who's very expert in decorating, and actually one of the secrets of decorating is the preparation. It's not actually the painting, it's the preparation. Because if you don't get the preparation right, however good a painter you are, you're painting over the cracks, you're painting over all the rough bits, and it doesn't matter how good your paint is, it's still going to show that it's not been prepared. In the printing industry, we used to have a preparation called make ready. We were making ready. We were getting ready to start running. And when I was an apprentice, for the first year, a lot of my training was making ready. I had to keep making ready these jobs. They were only little runs, and so I was on a small machine in those days, in the early days, but they kept on giving me lots of little jobs, so I kept on having to make ready. And the foreman would have to sign the pass sheet. So you made ready, and then you took the pass sheet to the foreman, and he would look at it and check whether it was straight and whether it was the right colour, and then he would sign it off. And in those days, if it wasn't right, he'd just clip you around the ear and tell you to do it properly. And you learn quickly. But the issue here is, he was patient. You had to be patient and thoughtful and careful. And you have to deal with the first principles. You can't start running a job and you haven't made it ready, because you're going to ruin the whole job. And our lives will be ruined this evening if we do not attend to this first principle of the foundation. And in his application, the Lord Jesus is reminding us of considering the foundation of our lives. What is your life built upon? Is it built upon the rock Christ Jesus? That's my question. Is your life built on the rock Christ Jesus? Can you sing this evening, dear friend, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand? In 1989, October 17, there was a massive earthquake in San Francisco. And the buildings built on the solid ground sustained much less damage than those on the shaky ground. And the south pier of the Golden Gate Bridge actually proved to be one of the safest structures in that particular area. It was undamaged because the foundation of the bridge actually rests on towers at either end, and those towers are embedded in the rock beneath the bay. But there was another bridge. It was actually a double-decker freeway directly across that same bay from San Francisco, and it collapsed because it had been built on land that had been filled in. It all looked the same the day before the severe earthquake. Both bridges were useful. Both bridges were being used, and nobody thought about the safety of those bridges as they rode across them until the earthquake. What are you building your life upon? Is it the sand? Is it something made up, ground? Or is it a rock? Friends of theirs, they had a house in the Midlands, and they hadn't been in it that long, and cracks started to appear in the walls. So they filled them up and redecorated, and then they appeared again. So they filled them up and redecorated, and then they appeared again. And they realized that they've got to get someone in to look at what's going on here. Surveyor came, and they did some tests, and they found actually that the house had been built above a mine shaft. Actually, it was literally within about 6 feet down underneath, it's just a hole. So they had to fill in the hole with masses and masses, tons and tons of metric tons of concrete. But the problem was the foundation. And the Word of God says, no one can lay any foundation other than the one that has already been laid for us, which is Jesus Christ. This is the most important foundation. And how much do you care for your soul this evening? The eternal part of your being. And the question can be answered directly, immediately this evening. Who are you resting upon? Who are you depending upon? Who are you trusting in? Who are you listening to? What words are you listening to? Are you listening to the words of Jesus? If you are wise, you will be trusting only in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Rock of Ages. He is eternally secure. He is immovable. He is able to uphold you. He is able to support you. And I've been thinking so much these days on that word. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And I visited a frail old lady, 93, this afternoon. Dear Auntie Everil, very frail. Very confused. But you know, when I quoted that verse, she got hold of my hand and she gripped it with both hands and she said, Christopher, that's the truth. Because she's on the foundation. The eternal God is her refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Jesus goes on to describe a great testing of this building. It was a terrible storm. It was a frightening experience. It was a tremendous upheaval, and the rain poured in torrents, and the wind blew with hurricane force, and it beat upon the house, and the floods came and poured around the house. And they looked out of the house, they looked out of the windows, and their house was surrounded with water, and it was flowing so fast. And maybe the children were crying out to their father, 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 are we going to be carried away? And the father said, no, my children, no, because this house is built on a rock. The house stood firm, immovable. It did not fall because it was founded upon the rock. It was the foundation that provided the stability. And there comes a time in our life when we face an upheaval. It may be sickness. It may be loss. It may be trial. It may be a bereavement. It may be a special, a peculiar matter only known to you. And it's come upon you like a storm. Or it's something perhaps which has been a pain in your heart, in your life for many a year. And Satan comes and he reminds you of it. And sometimes in the middle of the night you wake up and Satan makes it feel so much worse. And it's fearful, it's like a storm and it shakes you. And Satan may come also in a storm of accusation and temptation, may grab you also in a fearsome manner. And an issue may have arisen and it sails you like a storm and you are buffeted and you're oppressed by it.
But here is a remarkable testimony of the wise person, because their life is resting upon the rock Christ Jesus. The storm comes, and it goes. And they remain. Oh, dear friend, if you are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ this evening, the storm does come. We all have to face storms. They'll come, but they will go. And you will remain, because you are a wise person. You've heard the words of Jesus, the Saviour of the Lord, and you've come to him as your refuge. You have looked to him by faith as your Saviour. You have heard the wise words of Jesus. Come unto me, all you that labour and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And you've learned of him. And you have found it's the most wonderful yoke of love to be yoked with the Lord Jesus. Before you were yoked to Satan. And it was a horrible yoke. It was uncomfortable. You never could settle. It was always unsettled. But with Jesus alongside you, yoked to the Lord Jesus, you find it's a yoke of love. There's a stability about life. It is shaken, it is buffeted, but it remains on the rock, Christ Jesus. And the wise one sings, God shall alone the refuge be, and comfort of my mind. Too wise to be mistaken he, too good to be unkind. And the word of God comes to us with such encouragement to trust in the Lord. Oh, dear friends, there is so much in the word of God to encourage this trust in the Lord. The eternal God is my refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee, and yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, you people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. The Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. I cried unto the Lord. I said, O Lord, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children have a place of refuge. And your testimony in trusting will be, it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. That is a testimony of the wise man. A sovereign protector I have, unseen yet at ever at hand, unchangeably faithful to save, almighty to rule and command. He smiles and my comforts abound, his grace as the dew shall descend, and walls of salvation surround. The soul he delights to defend. These were the words of the hymn writer Augustus Toplady. And what about Isaac Watts? These amazing words, listen to these. Should all the hosts of death and powers of hell unknown put their most dreadful forms of rage and malice on, I shall be safe. For Christ displays superior power and guardian grace. Superior power and guardian grace. F.B. Meyer, the famous preacher last century, wrote about two Germans who wanted to climb the Matterhorn before climbing was very popular. And they hired three guides and they began their ascent at the steepest and most slippery part. And the men wrote themselves together in this order. The guide, the traveller, the guide, the traveller, the guide. They had gone only a little way up the side when the last man lost his footing. He was held up temporarily by the other four, but because each had a toe hole in the niches they had cut in the ice. But then the next man slipped, and he pulled down to the two above him. The only one to stand firm was the first guide, and he had driven a spike deep into the ice. And because he held his ground, all the men beneath him regained their footing. And F.B. Meyer concluded his story by drawing a spiritual application, and he said, "I am like one of those men who slipped. But thank God, I am bound in a living partnership to Christ, and because he stands, I will never perish. We slip, but Christ does not slip. We fall, but Christ does not fall." And if we're trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we're roped to him as our heavenly guide, and we're climbing up this mountain in picture language, there may well be times, even as a church, when many of us slip and fall and clamber about, but because Christ is the head of the church, we're not destroyed, because we're trusting in Jesus, and he's secure. But finally this evening, we conclude with this insecurity. In total contrast, Jesus describes the unwise man who takes no heed of his words. He considers the gospel, the wisdom of Jesus, the one who has come and lived a perfect life, and is going to die upon the cross at Calvary as the only Savior, the Messiah, the Savior of sinners. And this man thinks the wisdom of Jesus, the teaching of Jesus, is irrelevant. He listens. It makes no difference to him. Just passes it off like water off a duck's back. He believes in his own wisdom for life, his own way. He does it his way. He is described by Jesus as a foolish man who's building his house on the sand. On the outside, all may look fine. The same as the wise man's house. It looks good. Its design is acceptable. Its furnishings acceptable. The family sleep in it, thinking that they are safe. But when the storm comes, and the house is tested for its stability, the house is swept away. The problem, it has no foundation. It's resting on the shifting sand. And so there's the unwise person who is resting their life upon their own wisdom, their own philosophy. They are careless about their soul. And a storm comes into their life. It overwhelms them. And the tragedy is, for that person, there is no security. There's no stability. The comfort of the eternal word of God, the teaching of Jesus, the Savior, is missing from their life. They've heard the words of Jesus. He's warned them. He's taught them. He's instructed them. He's welcomed them to come to him. But they built their life their own way. And when the storm of temptation comes, the storm of loss, the storm of sickness, it overwhelms them. And ultimately, when the storm of death comes, and there is no foundation, they are swept away into a lost eternity. And this is the testimony of the unwise man. And it fell. And great was its fall. But the wise man, it did not fall, for it was founded upon a rock. A little over a month before he died, the famous atheist John Paul Sartre, when trying to resist strong feelings of despair, would often say to himself, "I know I shall die in hope." But then in profound sadness he would add, "But hope needs a foundation." And that was where he had a problem, because it was a false hope. When he was facing eternity, his hope had no foundation. But if your hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, then you have a solid foundation, and your hope is real, and it will not fail you, because your life is founded upon the rock. And the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Well, may the Lord bless this message to our souls this evening.